Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Zach Seiko. Zach, how are we doing this week, my friend?
We are doing well. Penn State has a playoff game for the first time.
They do, and it's a home game, so it creates a lot of excitement. Hopefully, Zach, everyone's been talking about the easy route that they have. If they could get through SMU, they're going to start traveling. And if you are interested in traveling with the Nittany Lions when they do hit the road, you got to check out Collegiate Athletic Travel. Their website is athletictravel.com. They've been handling these kind of trips for 50 years, traveling to all the great big Penn State bowl games and now for the playoffs. Again, if you're interested, they got to get through SMU, but after that, they start traveling. If you want to go along, make sure you check them out at athletictravel.com or call 814-238-4987. All right, Zach, before we get to the actual game coming up against SMU, a lot of news this week. We have Bo Prabula entering the portal. That's followed up by, not surprisingly after the first announcement, that Drew Aller was coming back. Quickly, the full disclosure for everybody. We recorded a couple shows earlier this week prior to the announcement of Bo Prabula on Sunday night. And right now, as we're recording this, we got kind of the unofficial announcement that Drew Aller would be coming back. Let's start with Bo Prabula, Zach. How much effect does this have on this Nittany Lion team?
It can have a lot if they need him. Drew Aller sustained an injury in the middle of the season against Wisconsin, and look how valuable Bo Prabula was in that moment. I am not trying to jinx it and say that that's going to happen again or that there's any lingering effects from Drew Aller's knee, because there aren't any. He's okay. He's fine. He's 100%, and it hasn't affected him all season. But now you lose your insurance policy. You also lose the fact that there's a wrinkle in the playbook that teams now don't have to prepare for anymore. Whether it worked 100% of the time or not, defensive coordinators had to at least account for it. He was a gadget player. He caused defenses to at least second-guess themselves. So Bo Prabula was valuable in the short term. With Drew Aller coming back, there's really no need for him where he is at the stage of his career. And we can discuss all kind of the outside factors or the overarching storylines, if you will. Bo Prabula being the Pennsylvania kid, and he was supposed to, you know, the baton was supposed to go from Drew Aller to Bo. But in this age of college football, where you have NIL, where you have transfer portal, you can maximize your ability and your availability. And I don't blame Bo for the decision that he is making here. So Penn State has a policy where you're either in the portal or you're on the team. So that's why this decision is happening now, as opposed to after the postseason. And it can't happen after the postseason because the portal closes December 27th or 28th.
Well, I think they do have an exception for the players who are on the playoffs, Zach. But you also have the situation, not just from Penn State standpoint, but from the player standpoint, the longer that Bo would wait to leave, the fewer job opportunities there are out there.
It's a business decision.
It is. And candidly, I've seen things posted where people are very upset with him, you know, traitor and on, letting his teammates down. But for him to stick around for the 3 years that he has already, I think already proves his loyalty. He is good enough to start at a, you know, Power Four level program, but chose to sit behind Drew Aller. And I think all along it's been kind of understood, if not spoken out loud, he would be the guy taking over as Drew goes on to play on Sundays, and Bo would have 2 years. I think we will look at it as Bo made his announcement, then Drew, but I think this really happened the other way around. This was Drew deciding to come back, and then Bo using that decision to make his decision.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, again, this is speculation, no inside reports. I'm pretty sure that Drew told the coaching staff and then probably spoke to Bo candidly, probably went to him one-on-one, because the only thing that I've seen from Penn State football former players, guys that knew Bo Prabula for maybe a year, guys that are currently teammates with him, guys that didn't even know him. Micah Parsons talked highly of Bo Prabula, and they never crossed paths except in, well, Parsons happens to know him just from the Penn State connection. At the end of the day, everybody understands Prabula's move. I don't think anybody is, I mean, everybody's heartbroken for the right reasons. Nobody is bitter. Everybody is upset because they're losing a teammate, and you have to kind of factor that in too. I mean, Bo Prabula seems to be a part of that heart and soul. I'm not saying that Drew Aller isn't, or that he's not going to be next season during his senior year, but I'm saying that you are taking a portion of Penn State's heart and soul in the middle of their first ever playoff run. And that's got to matter somewhere. That doesn't, you can't analyze that. The analytics can't account for that stuff. And so this is a big deal. Not all stories have a happy ending. I wanted to see Drew Aller go into the 2025. In a perfect world, Drew Aller goes into the NFL draft for 2025. He gets taken in the top 10 by a team that'll complement his strengths and help to continue to develop him. But Drew clearly feels that it is in his best interest to come back for another season rather than take the chance that he might get selected in the first round, because draft scouts and analysts and people who cover the NFL draft are starting to move him in the top five quarterback conversation. Where any of those five quarterbacks get selected is to be determined, but Drew clearly sees that it is more valuable to come back for another season at Penn State, take a chance that he's going to get selected number one overall rather than potentially being taken 25th. Or 26, that's a big difference, because the first overall, now don't quote me on this, but I wanted to look through the payment structure. The first overall pick, I think, gets $40 or $45 million, somewhere in that range. If you were taken in the bottom of the first round, or even the second round, that money goes from $40 million to about $5 to $10 million, give or take. So Drew is basically taking a $30, $35 million gamble here that he can be the first round pick, first overall pick in 2026, as opposed to maybe being a fringe first round pick in 2025. I don't blame him.
And some of the, it does appear that he's going up, his value in the draft is getting higher and higher. But there are still folks who speculate he's not a first round pick yet. Could be a second round. There's a big difference, as you pointed out, with the finances. And the other part to this, Zach, is NIL. It's not staying at Penn State and making nothing.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore. So, and I also think, Zach, that the NFL is beginning to value experience also. Having players who are getting more starts, more games under their belt in college. I think Bo Nix is one of the examples, a surprise first round pick in a way, and doing well in the NFL.
I mean, you're a product of your system. I don't think Bo Nix was ever a bad quarterback prospect, but when you play at Auburn, that doesn't, and that's the first player that came to mind, that, oh, Bo Nix, look, he benefited by staying 6 years in college. Drew's staying a fourth, and in without NIL, he would go to the pros. Without NIL, he would go to the pros. He'd say, okay, well, I'm going to get X amount of millions of dollars, but now he can take the risk, and who knows what he's making. Of course, the initial report was somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000 to $1 million. I got to imagine that's going to increase, because he'll get national brand deals. He might even get some more, and then they're going to do the salary cap and everything else. So we can try to count all the dollars that Drew Aller might make in NIL for his senior season. But just to give everyone a ballpark figure, he is going to make another couple of million being back at Penn State, and that's honestly, and I think I'm lowballing it there, because again, who knows, now that he's coming back from a senior season, this opens up the conversation for Heisman contender. This opens up the door for Penn State making another national championship run in 2025, now that their senior veteran quarterback is back with Andy Kotelnicki, the guy that has unlocked his potential. So everything is lining up for Penn State. But I mentioned Bo Nix. Bo Nix didn't succeed at Auburn because he didn't have coaches that cared enough. They didn't have the supporting cast to help him out. So it is up to Penn State for this transfer portal to go find players that are going to make Drew Aller's decision worthwhile. Because if he comes back, Okay, it doesn't matter if he's back. You need the players to support him to still make that offense go.
Plus, if I'm a wide receiver, I'm more likely to come to Penn State if you got a quarterback like Drew Aller. And Zach, just a little bit off topic, but wouldn't you love to go back to college and make $1 million while you're going to school?
Yeah, it depends where Drew's with his degree. I know that Bo Prabula finished his degree as well. I know that was at least – that was something that Saquon Barkley considered originally, is that he was actually leaning towards coming back just to finish his degree. So we are seeing football players at Penn State really value the fact of, hey, I can finish my degree and I don't have to rush it. So I don't know where Drew is academically, or maybe he gets started on his master's, but he is still able to further his education on his timeline. He doesn't have to accelerate anything, and he gets to make $1 million plus on the side. So that, yes, that certainly helps.
Don't bury the headline. Making a million is nice as a student. One last question. In segment two, we'll get to the actual SMU game, but a question that's been brought up to me, Ethan Grunkmeyer now becomes the backup quarterback, Zach. Mm-hmm. What do we know about him and his readiness if he were to be called upon?
Well, we don't know if he's ready. We just don't know. We know the potential. We know that James Franklin and company really like him. We know that he, honestly, if Drew did go off to the NFL draft, I would not have been surprised in an alternate universe, because I was anticipating this, that there would be an aforementioned quarterback battle between Bo Prabula and Ethan Grunkmeyer. It wasn't going to be, oh, the keys are going to be handed off to Bo. No, there would have been an open quarterback battle, and that's just par for the course for James Franklin. That's also because Ethan Grunkmeyer is projecting well to where he's developing. So he doesn't have any in-game experience. He's quarterback number two. I don't like this in a playoff setting. I'm not saying that he's not good or that he can't be great, but with no game experience, he didn't even get any garbage time in this season. You're really banking off the fact that he did excellent in scout team offense.
Yes, and that is one of the issues. I thought there were a couple games they could have snuck him in there for a series or two, Zach. Yeah. All right, that is it for quarter number one. When we come back, we're going to talk SMU and playoffs. Stay tuned for that. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Zach Sako. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football. One last question I have for you, Zach, on the whole, the general portal and the timing. We all know Bo Prabula went into the portal because he kind of had to because of the timing of things. Yep. And I'm reading all kinds of national articles. Oh, the NCAA, they screwed this up again. They've got to change the rules. You know what's the one thing I haven't seen, Zach? A suggestion on how to fix it.
Yeah, that's I don't, because you also have to factor in that this is still college athletics. Semesters start the second week of January. Winter workouts start roughly, right? Give or take. Some people go back earlier. Some people go back later. I get it. I'm not worried about semantics here. But what I am concerned about is the fact that Bo Prabula is on a timeline, not only for the transfer portal, but just that quarterback jobs and depth charts are filling up. The teams that are not in the postseason, what are they doing? They're preparing for next year's postseason or for a chance at next year's postseason. So in the process, if Bo Prabula wants to latch on a program where he can start, he will start at a Power 4 school that, yes, he's going to need an offense that is tailored to him. You can't just drop him in any program and he'll succeed. He needs to go to a system, to an environment. And that's the same for any quarterback, right? You can't put Drew Aller in a running offense, okay? And that's why Andy Kotelnicki went away from his true system to help Drew. And that's great coaching. That's elite coaching. Fitting your playbook to your personnel rather than making your personnel fit into your playbook. That's what separates good and great good from great coaches. Anyway, so Bo Prabula will start at a, he'll at least compete and contend for a starting job at a Power 4 school. And who knows? Now that he's entered in, I think he saved himself enough time. There's the rumor that Quinn Ewers is going to go somewhere else and that he's got a big offer from a Big Ten school. It's obviously not Penn State. Penn State was linked to that for some reason. Whatever. It was either going to be Drew or Bo. We knew that much. And I think that Bo now sets himself up nicely where a Power 4 school is going to make him and look at him as the face of the offense. Duke comes to mind. They need They picked up the Tulane QB. Yes. West Virginia is a possibility. Actually, with or without Andy Kotelnicki, West Virginia, Rich Rodriguez uses a mobile quarterback. Bo could land there. That's not too far from home. Makes a lot of sense. Trying to think of anybody. Syracuse is a team that has popped up. So Bo has Power 4 options. They're just more likely going to be in the ACC or the Big 12, not the SEC and the Big 10.
Now, I like the fact that you brought up Duke because I was going to bring up Duke as the example, Zach. Oftentimes, a transfer portal player, especially like a quarterback, will follow where he may already be familiar with the head coach. And we all know Manny Diaz, former Penn State defensive coordinator, is now at Duke. That would, on the surface, seem like a good fit. But Duke already got a transfer portal quarterback coming in. What that tells you, though, is those jobs are filling up already.
They move quickly.
Yes. If Bo didn't enter the portal, there would be even fewer jobs available to him. So it's a smart business decision on his part. All right, Zach, as promised, let's talk about this game coming up. Penn State's going to be hosting SMU noon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. One of the big topics of conversation, of course, is get a Southern team to come up north in December, Zach. That's what we're getting with SMU coming here. Latest weather, high of 29, maybe a chance of a snow shower. I don't think the snow is going to be a big issue. How big an issue is the cold weather? First of all, for SMU, a Southern school coming north.
Well, just to poke fun at all of this, SMU posted, I think it was a Star Wars graphic of some sort where it was this cold, barren wasteland. And it was in reference to the ACC championship. It was a preview graphic for the ACC championship where may I mind everyone that it is in North Carolina. So let's just poke some fun at this. They think that North Carolina is this brutal, desolate, cold, barren place to play a neutral site game against Clemson. Then what are they going to think of a snow-filled Beaver Stadium right now? All kidding aside, yes, weather matters. Wind conditions matter. Cold matters. All of that stuff. Penn State absolutely benefits from home field advantage. That's just the long and short of it. There's really no analysis. You play in Dallas, Texas, and other southern, warmer areas versus cold, windy, and they haven't had to deal with that. I don't know how Kevin Jennings is the starting quarterback. The wind gusts will be 15 miles per hour conservatively. Even if it doesn't snow, the wind is going to throw them off immensely. And then when they get hit for the first time in that cold weather, I would say it's going to take probably a quarter, maybe even a half, for SMU to adjust to that. When Abdul Carter lowers the shoulder into the running back, you're going to feel that 10 times as much.
And I forget what team it was. I want to say Tennessee, but I could be wrong, where there was a game. The temperatures were in the 50s, Zach, and all the players were huddled around the heaters on the sideline. So I kind of picture that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk – it is actually going to be pretty cold for Penn State also, just as cold. Does this affect their game plan at all? I would think it'd be more about the wind than the cold for Penn State.
Yeah, I'm across the board. I mean, Penn State has to deal with it too. It means that you're not going to be able to throw as easily. So then you have to bank on, okay, what travels in poor weather games? Your defense and your, what translates anyway? Your ground game and your defense. Well, fortunately for SMU, let's talk about SMU. SMU isn't this pushover team. They didn't get here by accident. I know they didn't play the toughest schedule. Everyone wants to talk about how Penn State's schedule is weak. Look at SMU's, and then they lost to the two teams that Clemson and BYU. They lost by 3 points, but I think Penn State would have beaten BYU, and I think Penn State would have beaten Clemson. So Penn State would have gone undefeated with that schedule. But my point being is that SMU is still a good team. This is an offense that goes quick, fast pace. And again, being in the cold, are you going to be prepared to go up tempo like that? And we've seen that James Franklin actually plays a little bit of chess here. He will run all these subs in and out of the game, and the referees are forced to hold the football. So it's a small, like, all spare and love and war here. So we will see Penn State do these little gimmicky things just to throw SMU off. What SMU is good at is they are good at stopping the run. This is a legitimate run defense. I know there's the mention of Boston College ran for 150 plus against them. They're third in the country in yards per carry at 2.8. SMU held a good Clemson ground game, I think, to 2.5 yards per carry. And that was a game where Clemson was up by 3-4 scores. So if SMU is still able to do that, you have to respect it. So I do worry about that matchup, Penn State's ground game, which, yes, did well against Oregon, but that was one game. Okay, that was one game. The other, leading up to the season, okay, why didn't you have that success against Maryland? Why didn't you have that success against, Minnesota as much? Purdue. You didn't even have that kind of ground game success against Purdue. Chalk it up to a Nicholas Singleton injury. Catron Allen was still there. Catron Allen didn't have that breakout game again until Oregon. So what happened in those 3 weeks? Bottom line is, I look at that as a 50-50 thing. If SMU can limit Penn State's ground game, it's going to make it more difficult for Penn State to move the football, windy, or because then you can't rely on the pass as much.
The one thing that I do think that Penn State has as an advantage in a windy game, having a strong-armed quarterback, the wind won't affect a Drew Aller as much as a weak-armed quarterback. And maybe you already answered this, Zach, but if SMU were to pull off this upset, what would it look like? What does SMU have to do?
SMU is good at stopping the run. They are good at getting after the quarterback. They are good, really good in third down defense, and they play up tempo. They force teams to play to their pace of the game. So Penn State can do 60 times, they can run 60 times. I like teams that can win in a variety of ways. Unfortunately, you don't have Bo Prabula, but Bo Prabula wasn't going to make or break this game for Penn State. It would just help to have his part of the offense there and that insurance if, you know, hey, Drew Aller just needs a playoff. We saw he got shaken. He got shaken up against Oregon and Bo Prabula for a couple of plays. You don't necessarily have that luxury now. What SMU can't do is they can't cover for long periods of time. If Drew Aller gets just enough time, and I'm talking half second, just a half second's the difference, Tyler Warren could have a 10-catch, 150-yard game. And Trey Wallace could have a big game. Amari Evans, they cannot cover for very long. So for SMU to win this game, they need to get pressure on Drew Aller. They need to just pepper Penn State with points as much as possible and then force Penn State away from a balanced attack. But that's going to be difficult to do, especially since SMU is so undisciplined. They commit the most penalty yardage, second most in the entire country. And they also, like I said, they can't cover for very long, and they turn the football over a lot too.
Do you think in the absence of Bo Prabula, we'll see a few more Tyler Warren at quarterback plays?
We were already seeing that anyway, so why not? It makes more sense. I know we won't see Ethan Grunkemeyer thrown into the game plan. We'll probably see a little more of Tyler Warren as that wildcat quarterback, yes.
So what is the Penn State strategy going into this, Zach?
Force turnovers. I think it's actually pretty easy to just discombobulate SMU. Kevin Jennings is wildly, he's able to ad lib. He's a great athletic mobile quarterback, but he's a one read quarterback. If you take away his first read, he gets flustered, and that's where he will turn the ball over. SMU committed 6 turnovers against Duke. Don't ask me how they won that game, but they committed 6 turnovers against Duke. Penn State, if they force three turnovers in this game, and that's kind of the expectation here, they'll win just fine.
All right, Zach, we've got less than a minute to go. This is your chance for your prediction.
I think SMU doesn't go away. They do not go away. I think Penn State wins here, but I would not be surprised if SMU has a backdoor cover of sorts. I'm going to go 35-28 if it's windy. I don't expect a lot of field goals, but Penn State, this game might even get into the 40s. I don't think Penn State's going to have any trouble scoring points against SMU.
That's interesting because I was concerned that in a cold weather game, Penn State would get a little bit conservative. That's an interesting point with SMU's defense that Penn State would be able to rack up a lot of points. It'll be interesting. All right, Zach, that is it for your segment of the show. I keep doing that. When I go to say goodbye to you, Zach, I make it like the show is over. No, that's not the case. We are going to have Sean Gold come in, and he's going to be making his picks for the playoff games, all of them, when he gets here, when we come back after this message. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He is Sean Gold from Sean's Take. I am Jim Galante. We are going to get to Sean's picks for this coming weekend with the playoffs. And of course, you have the Penn State Nittany Lions hosting SMU noon on Saturday. And you know what, Sean? I'm not sure. You're out on the West Coast, so I'm not sure you're aware of this. But at Penn State, they have graduation scheduled for this weekend, along with this playoff game. The demand is crazy on the hotels. The supply's not there. Prices are going crazy. If you're still looking for a place to stay, especially with a noon game on Saturday, come in much better if you could come in on Friday. Check out gopsurv.com. This is where they have the RV there sitting ready for you, all set up. All you've got to do is show up in your own car on Friday. You can stay through Sunday, and they are not gouging. They are not raising their prices. Check them out on the web at gopsurv.com, or you could call directly at 800-519-8467. A great way to do football weekends in Happy Valley. Sean is finally here. It's playoff week, my friend.
We've been waiting more than a year for this, really, because the 12-team format was announced a couple years ago, and we've been so excited, and it's finally here. I cannot wait for this.
It is. We've been talking about it for that long, and the goal, at least as Penn State people, was how about getting a home playoff game? I think for a lot of fans, Sean, that's more exciting than if they would have won against Oregon for the Big Ten championship game and gotten a bye. So the Penn State fans actually get a home playoff game. But it's interesting, with all that excitement, before we get to our picks, most of the talk around here with Penn State fans is what went on with Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback who does get a lot of playing time, announced he's entering the portal and will not be available for the playoffs. And also, Drew Aller, the starter, has announced he will be returning. Sean, any of that surprise you?
You know, it's a really difficult situation, but at the end of the day, Bo Prabhua had to make a business decision for himself and his future. And while I want to say that he should have stuck it out and made this playoff run with Penn State because it's really special, as an individual, he had to make the right decision for himself to set up his own future. And so I get, you know, there's a lot of press about how he's making the wrong decision and the wrong timing for that, but he has to take care of himself first and foremost. And I think that's what he did here.
And you can't blame him for that. I think a couple things here, Sean, to remember. He and Drew Aller came in the same class. They've been at Penn State for 3 years. Bo took a red shirt the first year, so it kind of staggers them a bit. But he spent the last 2 years as the backup to Drew Aller. He could have gone previously. For those who question his loyalty, I say, look at those 2 years he spent as the backup here, which he didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And it's, we're in a different era of college football. And you know, we all loved the, you go to one school for 4 years and you're a diehard for that program and that school and you give everything you have. But for Bo Prabhua, can we blame him? He's going to go be a starting quarterback somewhere, and that's just not an opportunity he was going to get at Penn State. And so, you know, if that was any of us and we could be told, hey, you can have the keys to a program and set up your future, I think we'd go and take that. And I think he's doing that, and it's hard to see him leave because as Penn State fans, we loved watching him on the field, and we thought that, you know, he would be the guy who could take over for Drew Aller after that time came, but I can't fault him at all for making this decision.
No, I'm with you. It's hard to fault him for it. And I think the other part to this, and James Franklin brought it up in his press conference this week, is this, in essence, he wants also what's best for Bo. And this would be a distraction for the rest of the team. You know, this isn't some third string left guard we're talking about. It's a guy who's a quarterback. He's part of every game plan. And his mind might be elsewhere. So it is a distraction. I think this was best for all parties involved. But one of the things I wanted to address with you, and I think you'd have a unique perspective as opposed to the rest of us here on this show, is you've just recently graduated college where you were a student athlete. Tell us what, you know, the ability now to enter the transfer portal and that freedom and what that means to intercollegiate athletes.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's such a new era with NIL in the picture, with the portal not getting suspended for transferring now. Like it's a whole entire new world out there in the portal. And, you know, that's why I get that the transfer portal is frustrating for a lot of people. Because you have so much turnover now in college sports that you didn't have before, and it's not traditional anymore. But if any of us could go back to being an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, and you get offered, one, a lot of money to go somewhere else, and two, just a new opportunity to start fresh and get your shot that you've been waiting for, it's really hard to say no. I mean, people don't realize how much this can set someone's future up, not only for, hey, maybe Bo Prabhua goes and balls out at his new school and gets on NFL draft boards, but he may realistically get a six-figure deal to go somewhere else. And that can do a lot if you're smart with the money to set up your future. And I can never fault somebody for taking that opportunity.
That's, I think, exactly the point. And fans have to set aside their fandom and think about this in terms of, if Bo Prabhua were your son, how would you advise him? And as someone who knows your father, I would think, you know, dad would say, hey, I want the absolute best opportunity for Sean, no matter what my loyalty is to a specific school, to get the opportunity to be on the field, especially at quarterback, where I know at Penn State he does get some playing time, but at least for another year, he was not going to have the keys to the car.
Yep. Dad, I'm going to go get $100,000 and be the starting quarterback at another school. Well, I think we'll take that deal.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you have to look at it that way. It's financial opportunities, plus just other opportunities, networking opportunities. And take the professional athlete opportunity out of the equation. Let's say Bo Prabhul is not going to go to the NFL. There's still opportunities. If you are a starting quarterback at a university, that creates some things. You know, at Penn State, if you're Todd Blackledge, if you're Trace McSorley, if you're Christian Hackenberg, there are certain things that come with that, come along with being the starting quarterback at a big time school.
I completely agree with you. And it's, you know, it is hard to watch players that you liked start to move around, but you know, they got to do what's best for themselves at the end of the day.
And I think the other thing I've seen on, you know, fan boards and so on is the, oh my goodness, he's a traitor to the team. He's not a team guy. I don't think the players look at it that way. And again, I'll ask you, as someone who just recently, you know, graduated from school as a student athlete, I suspect you'd be happy for your teammate getting an opportunity somewhere else.
You would be, because as his teammate, you've seen the work that he's put in, and you know that he has the talent to be the starting quarterback somewhere. And unfortunately, it's just not at Penn State right now, because Drew Auer's playing phenomenal football. So even Drew Auer, I'm sure, is super excited to see Bo go be a starter somewhere and take over an offense. I think every one of his teammates is going to be excited about where he ends up.
And I think as people who follow Penn State football, yes, it's great Drew Auer is coming back, but I think a lot of us were really curious what this Penn State offense would have looked like with Bo Prabhul at the controls.
I think so, because it's just so different, and it's not a knock on Drew Auer at all, but it's like we saw, you know, when Bo's kind of come in and we got the read option going and we got the design quarterback runs, it's a completely different feel that, you know, Penn State doesn't always feel and probably hasn't had that since Trace McSorley days. But before that, it's been a lot of, you know, pure pocket passers for Penn State. So it was going to be kind of an exciting, different type of era if he ended up, you know, becoming the guy.
And again, I think a lot of that is just that curiosity. Just a question now, with Bo gone, do you think the game plan changes at all? For example, do you think we'll see more Tyler Warren lining up at quarterback?
I definitely do, especially on third and short, fourth and short, where we would see Bo packages come into the game. I would not be surprised if we got some more Wildcat with Tyler Warren back there.
And the thing, and I know there are folks who don't want to hear this, my take is if you get Tyler Warren back there, the difference is with Bo, yes, he's that great threat to run, and if I'm a defense, I'm looking to stop the run. But he was capable of throwing the ball. I'd like to see Tyler Warren have that option more. I know it's part of the plan, and he has dumped it off a little bit. I'd like to see them set something else up where he would be, get a chance to throw the ball.
I'm all for it. I want to see that arm in action for Tyler Warren there. I think there's a lot of creativity that can come in that, you know, maybe we're not expecting yet.
Yeah, and I don't expect him to act like a normal quarterback, go back, expect him to thread the needle, look off receivers or defenders. But I think he has to be, or at least show the threat that he could throw the ball to keep defenses at least just a little bit honest, Sean.
I completely agree. And that's the thing. You don't want to become so one-dimensional when you do have a package with him there, because it becomes easier to stop. And that's what was nice about Bo, is you had to respect the pass. So if they can get a little shuffle pass action in there, it can do a lot for them.
That's it. Even if it's I think they were getting a little predictable with it, and you had to stack the box looking to stop Tyler Warren himself from running the ball. I think they've got to show a couple other things, either the option to give the ball to a running back, little pass, little something else, just to change it up, and especially now without Bo Prabhul available. All right, Sean, that is it for quarter number three. When we come back, we're going to get your picks for this weekend's playoff games. Stay tuned for that. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should a team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Sean Gold from Sean's Take. I am Jim Galante. We are getting ready to make our picks for this weekend. Of course, Penn State will be hosting SMU on Saturday at noon. And if you're still looking for a great way to tailgate, let me suggest Revel XP to you. This is where it's a great setup. They have an area sectioned off. There's no traffic coming through, nothing like that. They have the great big white tents. They have televisions. They set up the tables, the chairs. They could even set up catering for you. You don't have to worry about anything. They take care of setup. They take care of breakdown. It is carefree tailgating. That is Revel XP. You could go look them up on revelxp.com, R-E-V-E-L-X-P.com, or call them at 814-933-4100. They can set up carefree tailgating for you. All right, Sean, it's time to talk about these four playoff games this week. Just to set it up for everyone, we have the first four teams in the playoff. They get the bye. Then teams 5 through 8 get the home playoff game, and they host teams seeded 9 through 12. And what's interesting, Sean, all along, people have been talking about the opportunity for teams up north to host a team from down south. We actually have that set up in a couple games here.
We do. It's going to be really interesting. Weather plays a bigger factor than a lot of people realize, and we're going to see how some of these SEC teams and some of these other conferences, ACC, enjoy Big Ten football weather that we're about to get.
Okay. Now, you played football in high school. I know you ran track in college. You also played some football collegiately, right?
Yep.
Do you remember the coldest game that you played in?
I think what stands out to me more is some of the practices. 6 a.m. on the frozen turf, catching the ball, and if it's wet, you don't wear gloves. So you're getting a frozen rock right into your hands from a quarterback who can really put some spin on it. And you start to get used to it, but it's more the first, 10, 15 minutes out there, especially when you're trying to stretch and warm up and your muscles are all just contracted. It makes a difference. And I got to tell you, too, coming from Southern California to then going to college in Connecticut, it's different. And for some of these teams, let's talk Texas to maybe Penn State, it feels a bit different out there. And it's a culture shock and a shock on your body and mind as well.
I'll share with people, you just said Connecticut, you're a Yale League, right?
Yep.
Fancy Ivy League guy. Anyway, let's start talking about some of those teams going from the south to the north, and let's start with the Tennessee at Ohio State game. Now, Ohio State is favored by 7.5 points, a little better than a touchdown, and you've got Tennessee from the south coming up to Columbus. And I have Columbus with a high of 30 degrees that day. But I think what's more interesting is that's a night game. So it'll be even chillier there. Ohio State, I think the question is, what is their mindset after that terrible ending to the season, losing to rival Michigan again? I think the big question there is, what's the mindset of Ohio State going into this?
Yeah, and it's really hard because it's been kind of, for Ohio State, this awkward period of nothing. They didn't get to go to the Big Ten championship game, so it wasn't like they could kind of, you know, get their mojo back in that. They've had to wait, and they watched Penn State, Oregon, and they've been sitting on the sidelines, so I'm really interested to see. And one thing about Ohio State, this entire season, we've seen them come out slow in a lot of games. We've got to remember, even though they put a beatdown on Indiana, Indiana scored first. Penn State scored first. There's all these instances where Ohio State just didn't get going for a little bit. And I'm worried that's going to happen to them in this game just because they've had such a lull in their schedule where there haven't been real competition. So I think Tennessee's actually going to respond to the weather pretty decent because of the brand of football that they play. They've been playing some great defense, and I think that will help them in a cold weather situation right here.
Well, it's 7.5 points of Tennessee, the underdog. Which way are you going?
So I'm going to go with Tennessee here. And a lot of that is just because I this entire season had wanted to trust Ohio State so much, and they continuously let me down. And meanwhile, I think both of these teams play a very similar brand of football. I think their offenses are both a little underwhelming compared to what they were supposed to be this season. So I think it's going to be a defensive battle, and in a defensive battle, I'm going to take the underdog here.
You know, I've been battling in my own head which way to go with this because I've been trying to figure out what Ohio State's mindset would be with this game. Do they come out and say, galvanize their effort, we've got to show the world that, you know, the loss to Michigan, that's not who we are. Here's a redemption. We're on a redemption tour here. And interestingly enough, if they beat Tennessee, they get another shot at Oregon. I would think that's great motivation. But you also wonder the other side of this, is Ohio State ready for that? Or are they just, you know, a lot of mercenaries, a lot of transfer portal guys? So I feel like it could go either way. And I heard an interview with Ryan Day, and he's saying all the right things. All the words are correct, but I just wonder, is it true, or is he just saying the right words? I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm not sure about it, but I'm going Tennessee because I'm just not sure about the Ohio State mindset here. All right, let's get Clemson is at Texas. Clemson's the last team into the playoffs. They're the only three-loss team. They got in by winning the ACC championship game. Tremendous last-second field goal to win it. They are up against Texas. Texas is actually an 11.5-point favorite in this one, Sean.
Yeah, our biggest spread for the weekend. Super interesting line here. In the end, I think it's hard to go fully against Clemson in this situation. It's still an experienced team. Dabo Swinney has been in this position before. He's coached phenomenal games in big-time moments, and this is not the same Clemson team that he's had five years ago when they were winning national championships. But I also don't fully trust Texas right now, so I'm going to go Clemson plus 11.5. I would be shocked if Clemson wins this game, but I would not be shocked if this is a one-possession game at the end of it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you again here. I do think Texas will end up winning the game, but that 11.5 points is a lot. I don't see Texas running them off the field. I think Dabo's experience in you know, playoff situations will help out here. There isn't the cold weather issue as part of this. I'm taking Clemson to keep it close. Don't think, though, they're going to win the game. All right, next up, it's Indiana at Notre Dame. This one's interesting for a couple different things. Number one, it's the one game that it's not a Southern school coming up north. It's an intrastate battle between Indiana and Notre Dame. It's going to be cold weather, but it would seem to have the same effect on both Indiana and Notre Dame. The interesting thing is, Notre Dame is a 7.5-point favorite, and I think a lot of folks will get on Indiana that they didn't play much of a schedule. I'm not sure who Notre Dame has beaten either, though, Sean.
I completely agree. Their most impressive win is either week one against Texas A&M or last week of the regular season against USC, and it wasn't exactly a stellar season for USC. So I'm going with Indiana against the spread here. We talked about this the last time we spoke. I don't think Notre Dame is a number five seed in a 12-team format right now. I think they got kind of lucky with circumstances, and I'm really excited to see Indiana in this position. I think that they're capable of winning this game outright, so I'm going to take them on the road plus 7.5, and I think they're going to be in for a great game.
You know, since Notre Dame's loss to Northern Illinois, they've, you know, just blew out some teams, has looked impressive on certain weeks, but they don't have that big win. I think Indiana, a lot of people are still not believers in Indiana. They point at the one game against Ohio State where the score was really bad, but they also gave up two touchdowns on special teams, okay? That would have made those numbers look a lot different. I think Indiana has been impressive when they've played some respectable teams. Not great, but they've blown out some decent teams. I'm going with Indiana there also to, at the very least, keep it close and cover the spread. All right, we've been all going all underdogs till now, Sean. Now it's the Penn State game. Penn State is hosting SMU. We know some of the story, the distraction this week has been Bo Prabula, backup quarterback who gets in plenty of the game. He's transferred out, will not be available. So it's Drew Aller, Penn State, an 8.5-point favorite at home. It's a noon game. We're hearing high of 29 degrees, Sean. Maybe just a chance of a snow shower.
This is the one where I think weather really will be a factor. And you gave a little foreshadowing on this. Taking three underdogs, my initial read was SMU covering this, but I think if there's a favorite that's going to cover, it's going to be Penn State. They played such a great game against Oregon, and they came up short, and I think they want to go and build off of that performance and say, you know what, we want another shot at getting this. We think that we can beat any team in the country. It starts this week for Penn State. The crowd is going to be insane. The weather is very favorable for Penn State compared to a Texas team, so give me Penn State with the points to play really good football in this game, Jim.
I have the Nittany Lions also. I think that they are playing well, even in that loss to Oregon. And in that game, the defense didn't play their best game. We know that. But I think the offense, we've been waiting all year for them to put things together. We saw that against Oregon. And if they play even close to that level on offense, I think that they will win this game comfortably, Sean. That 8.5-point spread shouldn't be a problem for them. All right, Sean, thank you for the picks. You and I were on the same page with all of them. Fingers crossed. Hopefully that's a good sign. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.